Hey everyone. I'd like to start with a question. How do you go with listening? As in, how good of a listener are you? By listening, I of course mean this skill that all guys are really amazing at, the ability to just hear what a person has to say, process it before formulating our own thoughts, and certainly before we jump to conclusions. Whenever I'm involved in a conversation, I try my best to be listening before I say or even think too much. Otherwise, I run the risk of misunderstanding what a person says, which is something I did a lot in the past. This is something I'm constantly trying to grow stronger in. Sometimes I also try my best to clarify whether I'm on the right track before proceeding. You probably know what I mean. Imagine you're talking to your friend, they say something, and you think you know what they're saying. It's only until after you've misunderstood what they mean, you've caused some tears, you've given them some tissues, that you then realize, ooh, that's what they mean. Listening is just a really important thing for us to do. It helps us to process the information that's given to us and helps us make sure that we're on the right track. But sometimes, even after we've listened, we can still be confused over what we've heard. Today's parable is an example in just that, and Jesus tells us to listen first. To listen before he speaks out this short story, one which, frankly, leaves people kind of confused. Now, let's start by having a look at what's going on in this scene, because there's a lot of really great detail, and hopefully we can follow it a bit better. So we start by the sea with Jesus, the crowd. It's actually quite a large crowd. They're probably sitting on land, presumably by the water, on a bank of some sort, and Jesus on a boat. And Jesus starts really emphatically, verse 3. Listen. Now, in the Greek, for emphasis, it also has the word behold, which is quite a strange word to us, isn't it? We don't really use behold these days, do we? I certainly haven't heard anyone use it around me, but I'm imagining if I did hear it, behold, I'd know that something important is about to follow. It's actually about this person, the sower. Jesus wants us to hear something. It's really important for us to listen. The crowd's got to listen, but what we hear is a little bit confusing. It's a story about a farmer throwing out some seeds. And as we look through, we see him just throw out the seed without too much concern over where the seed goes. Now, clearly, this farmer just wants the seed to go to many different places. So some of the seeds fall on a bit of path where some cute little birds come along and eat it up. Some other seeds end up on rocky ground and eventually spring up, they get scorched and they die. And also some seeds end up among some thorns. These do actually get a bit of a chance to grow, but unfortunately, they end up dying too. We then see there's one more ground, some soil that ends up producing a crop, some multiplying by 30, 60, some 100 times. So we kind of see that there's a good outcome, the good soil, but there are also some bad outcomes, the seeds that don't land on the good soil. Now, obviously, there's some point of differences between these two grounds. But the only thing that changes here is the ground, isn't it? The sower is the same, the seed is the same, but the ground changes. More on this later. But it's obviously really important for people to hear this message because of what Jesus says in verse 9. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Basically, if you can listen in, listen in. And verse 10 shows that there are some people who have listened in, but they're still a bit confused. So they go up to Jesus and ask him, "What did you mean by all of that? We listened in, but we're confused. Could you explain it to us?" And fair enough, right? You think about what Jesus has actually said. There's a farmer, he's thrown out some seed. There are four different types of ground that the seeds land on. If they land on the path, birds will eat them. If they land near the thorns, they won't grow very well. Well, hold on. This is actually meant to be rather profound. But farming back then wasn't an uncommon practice. So why tell people to listen and tell them about farming? What does Jesus even mean in this parable? What's he getting at? Why does Jesus actually speak in parables? Why is it important for you and I to pay attention to, frankly, a rather difficult to understand parable? Well, he tells us in verses 11 to 12. Have a look. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." So Jesus kind of separates people into two groups, doesn't he? There is the kingdom of God, and there are those outside of it. Those within God's kingdom, verse 11, they get its secret given to them. But those outside, they don't really get given the same treatment. Now, sounds kind of bad. It's so that this group, as verse 12 tells us, will be ever seeing and hearing, but they'll never perceive or understand. Otherwise, they might be forgiven. It's like the crowd. The crowd doesn't believe, so therefore they don't listen. And that's what separates the inside from the outside. Those that desire to hear or find out more are on the inside of God's kingdom. Basically, whoever is in God's kingdom knows the secret about it, but the secret isn't really given to those that aren't in it. Because if they are given it, they'll be forgiven. Friends, the parables are actually kind of meant to be confusing. So Jesus, when he was saying, listen, it's going to end up separating people into the two groups I mentioned before. Now, one thing about parables is that they confirm unbelievers in their unbelief. But they also give an opportunity to genuinely interested hearers. They get a chance to hear more. It's because if you genuinely want to find out more, you'll go ahead and find out more. So there are two responses. Firstly, you either just give up, you brush it aside, and think it's not worth your time to look into it more. Secondly, you end up confused, but you want to know more. It's like when you've got a concept you're trying to figure out in one of your classes. This is just like when there were two concepts in Japanese that confused me. So in grade 10 Japanese, we're learning about grammar, about transitive and intransitive verbs. As soon as I hear my teacher use these terms, I think to myself, oh, grammar. So my head switches off whenever that happened. It was near impossible for me to figure out because, frankly, I didn't really care about grammar. So I never really gave it much time and thought. I never read into it, and the idea stayed confusing to me. Whereas there were other concepts in Japanese which seemed fine to me, such as politer and casual forms of speaking. I was a bit confused by them as well, but I didn't write these off as boring. So I actually read a bit more into them and did far better in my exams when it came to these. It's basically the same thing here. If people have no interest in finding out more about Jesus' words, like how I was with transitive and intransitive verbs, they won't bother finding out more. But if they do have interest in finding out more, they'll actually do so. If Jesus' words are a bit confusing, but you're interested in knowing more, and chances are you'll actually look into it. And actually, it's quite important that we do look into it more. It's important that we make sure we find out more. Jesus gives us a really good reason to do this. He shows it in verse 13. Have a look. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" So if we don't understand this parable, every other parable is supposed to go over our heads. But thankfully, Jesus explains it to us in verses 14 to 19. We find out that the seed is the word. As we saw earlier, the farmer was quite liberal with how he threw out seeds onto the ground. He didn't really mind where the seeds ended up. That wasn't really what concerned him. He was just interested in having the word go out. But here's where the rubber hits the road. There are three soils that get talked about. The three grounds are basically three ways in which people end up rejecting Jesus. Again, there's the path, the rocky ground, and then the thorns. As Jesus tells us, when the seed lands on the path, Satan takes it away. In the Bible, there's an interaction between our responsibility, Satan's temptation, and God's action. Now, one thing that's very clear is that we are responsible for our actions. And something interesting on that is the way in which the crowd reacts when they hear Jesus' words. What happens? They leave. So obviously, the cute little birdies are Satan. No, I'm kidding. But have a look at the middle of verse 15. As soon as someone hears it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. It means they haven't had time for the word to grow in their life at all. They hear it, and then their heart doesn't warm to it. They don't keep going with it. You may know some people like this. They hear God's word, they hear the gospel, and there's no impact for them. Verses 16 to 17. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So there are other seeds sown on rocky places, as in the word is heard and they receive it with joy. Awesome. But unfortunately, there's not much soil, so it pops up from the ground and the sun burns it. The person here has received the word, but in the end, they end up rejecting God's word because it's brought them hardship. Because of trouble or persecution due to being a Christian. Now imagine a person that's heard the gospel. They're really happy and excited to hear this news. So they decide to become a Christian. But as soon as it gets hard because of it, the attractiveness goes away and they decide to give up Christianity. Sad to say, this has happened to a couple of my friends actually. They were Christians, they loved their church, but they gave up on Jesus because they kept getting mocked for their beliefs. Hardship came in the form of opposition toward Jesus. So for them, it was easier to just give up. The third soil, verses 18 to 19. The seeds that got sown among thorns, they actually sprout some kind of plant, as verse 7 tells us. So have a look at verses 18 to 19 with me. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. It looks promising at the start, but again, it doesn't last. There are riches and other things that end up taking over the word. Maybe it's concern for career, concern for money, anything that is a worldly focus or concern. Much like a seed, the word needs time, care, and help to grow in a person, for the person to understand it better. My friends, verses 18 to 19 are a cautionary notice for us. Be mindful of other things in this world which will take the place of God's word in your life. I'm really sad to say this also, but a number of my friends have also been pulled from God toward things of this world. Money, romance, work, success, studies. And some of them were really involved at church too. A couple of people from my church were being thought of for leadership, maybe in youth groups, but they don't call themselves Christians anymore. Don't let worries of this world take over the word. All these grounds, they have one thing in common. There's no fruit. And they actually sum up one attitude toward God's word. It's an attitude that shows one's heart hasn't softened towards God's word. Whether it's because a person just doesn't want to spend time in reading God's word better, or because they've given up due to persecution, or because they're more concerned about wealth and other desires. If I'm to be honest, university is a place that shows how careful we need to be when we're talking about our attitude toward God's word. I haven't even been here 6 months, and I've seen numerous people and things which show that this parable points out an extremely relevant truth. There are people who have heard God's word once and haven't let it take root. There are people who are going to ridicule you for your beliefs. University is getting more and more secular. And the attitude towards organized religion is getting increasingly more hostile. And the general focus of being at university, you want a great career? Well, come to UQ and study hard. You need only go to UQ's website, uq.edu.au/create-change, and you'll see a picture of a person with a smile, dressed very trendy, with a MacBook, and the words say, "For me, it all started at UQ." Now, okay, don't get me wrong, you are here at UQ to study. So do study, you are students, but study God's word too. Make sure you take heed of Jesus' encouragement throughout this passage. Listen to God's word and let it take root in your life. Because letting God's word take root in our lives results in what we see in verse 20. Let me read it. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So essentially, the seed that ends up falling on the good soil will produce a crop, a lot of the crop. This soil hears the word and it accepts the word. It acknowledges the word. It becomes important to the person hearing it and takes root in that person's life. Now, I don't know a whole heap about agriculture, but one seed producing 30, 60, and even 100 times what was sown, that's very impressive. It's very fruitful. Apparently, even a yield of 5 to 10 times more than what was sown, that's already considered a rather solid return. So what we see is that there's a profession of faith in God, and that results in a very fruitful person within God's kingdom. So basically, a heart that has softened itself towards God plus God's word equals fruitfulness. Remember from the previous types of ground that the points of difference haven't been the person throwing out the word, throwing out the seed, also known as the preacher of the word. It isn't the seed itself. The type of seed has actually stayed the same. It's still God's word. But what's changed is the ground. Depending on the type of ground, that determines what happens to the seed and whether it produces a crop. And very much the same, depending on how someone listens and responds to the word. That determines what happens to God's word and how they end up living in relation to God's kingdom. I guess one way to look at this is by examining a good student. A good student is going to realize the stuff for them to learn. They're going to put in the hard work and learn the relevant material. Then, hopefully, memory and hard work permitting, they do well on their exam, and they're fruitful in such a way. The good student has become fruitful through learning the relevant material. And like the good student, the person of the good soil learns to read the word. And they become fruitful by bringing the word to others, sharing the good news. Yet at the same time, there's more to it. So we need to ask questions to figure out if we're in the good soil and letting God's word take root in our lives. How do you view God's word? Is it treasured, or is it just another book to read? God's word is precious because he didn't have to give his word to us and make salvation a possibility. How do you view the words in the Bible? Are they life-changing or are they just intellectually stimulating? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be intellectually stimulating or challenging. It's great if they are, and they make you ask questions. But I'm saying if they're solely intellectually stimulating and not life-changing, it would be good to find out why. Because truly listening to God's word does call for a response to change the way we live. Also, what are you doing with God's word? What have you done with Sunday's sermon? Are you letting it take root in your life and letting it change you to become more like Jesus? Has the sermon just become an inevitable part of the Sunday service that you need to sit through? It's important that our church sermons, if done reasonably, play a significant time for us. Because if we're viewing God's word as life-giving and has eternal significance, we want to listen in because it's another chance to hear his word. And lastly, listening and having received God's word, are you safeguarding yourself against temptation and hardship? Are you ripping those weeds which might take over God's word in your life? God's word plays a prominent part in a Christian's life because it's actually the primary way God communicates with us. So, if we end up allowing other things to choke the word out of our life, we essentially are allowing God's way of communication to be choked out from our life. Now, I'd like to finish by narrowing the focus of my question. How do you go with listening to God's word? As Jesus has pointed out to us today, the first step is for people to just listen. And seemingly, people will naturally make a decision on it. Some will be receptive and let it grow in their lives, while others just won't care. And Jesus has given us a good reason to listen to God's word. Yes, it is God's word, but another good reason to listen is how you respond to it, because that matters. A person's response to God's word can either end up having the word just not take root at all, or it might end up with a person being a Christian for a short time and give up on their faith because of hardship or temptation. But those that listen, accept it, and allow his word to take root would end up being the good soil. They're the ones who, after hearing the word, respond in faith and become a fruitful Christian. They make sure to rip out the weeds of temptation, being able to weather hardship. Friends, we've been given God's word, which brings life, redemption, and leads us in God's ways. He didn't have to give it to us, but he has. So let me encourage you the way Jesus did, to listen and respond by receiving it, by letting it take root in your life. Let me pray for us. Loving Father, thank you that in your kindness we have your word to not only hear from, but that it reminds us of crucial truths that impact our relationship with you. Thank you also that your son's words here, that they remind us to listen to your word. Father, help us to remember that how we listen determines how we respond to your word. Help us to be removing the weeds of temptation and persevere in times of difficulty and hardship. We pray that our hearts may be opened and softened to your word to help us overflow with fruit 30 times, 60 times, or even 100 times for the sake of your glory and your kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen.